Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started, and we're on our marriage study, I guess we could call it. Are we there yet? Right? And anyway, we started a section last week that's called Paying with Foreign Currency, and I thought that was very apt after my travels this past week, except they still used euro in Spain, so that was handy enough, but last week we talked quite a bit about comparison of how men and women have different needs. They have different ways that they express love and that they show love, that they receive love, and our study is likening it to having different currencies. It's not that one is worth more than the other, one is better than the other, they're just different. And I also was likening it to having different languages and learning how to communicate, because women and men speak different languages. And so we have to make the effort to learn the other person's language, or there's going to be a lot of communication problems. And my trip to Spain was helpful in illustrating that, because believe me, we had plenty of communication problems whenever we went there. No one, well, a lot of people did not speak my language, and I didn't speak theirs. And so it caused some interesting encounters. And no doubt all of us can relate to that. We've either come from foreign countries or living in a foreign country now. I think everybody here speaks more languages than I do, right? I'm still working on mastering the English language, and some of you guys speak Spanish and Afrikaans and I don't know what else. And so anyway, whenever it comes to our home, we realize that men and women communicate differently. We speak different languages. And so that's what we're dealing with this week. And so before we go any further, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on our study this morning, and we'll dive right in. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom and the opportunity that we have, Lord, to gather together as believers around this common faith, Lord, around your word, and Lord, to be able to edify and uplift one another. I just pray, Lord, help us as we study your word, that you would use it to inform our minds, to shape our perspective, Lord, to draw us closer to you, Lord, and help us as we're studying relationships, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would work in couples, Lord, and just bring them together, and Lord, just help us to grow into strong relationships, Lord, with one another. And Lord, we ask you be with the children in the back as well, Lord, and those who are teaching them. I just pray that you would soften their hearts, Lord, make their minds receptive, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they would understand the gospel, Lord, that they would trust you as their Savior at a young age, Lord, that they would live their lives for you, Lord. And Lord, help the teachers just to instill your word, your truth into them, Lord. We ask you be with those who aren't with us, Lord, the ones that are working, the ones that are sick, the ones that are traveling, Lord. We ask you, Lord, just to please be with this community, Lord, how we long to make an impact here for the sake of Christ, Lord. And Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Help me, Lord, as I teach, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen. Okay, so just a tiny bit of review here, not a whole lot, because most of you weren't here last week. We have a different crowd each week. And so I'll challenge you to, for those who missed the past lessons, they will be online. They're not yet, but they will be online. You can go back and listen to those later on. But in this idea of paying with a foreign currency, we had, let's see, on your outline, your number one, currency differences. Currency differences. And so there's a lot of things that are similar between men and women, but there are some very key differences. Then letter A, same grace. So your blank there is grace. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. And so we come to Christ on equal footing. God does not elevate one over the other. Even some religions will teach almost putting man as being more important than woman, or being woman being subservient to man, and that's not what we find in Scripture, that we are partners, that we are coming together equally before God. But even though we are equal, there are different needs. And so we look at the different needs and how the Bible addresses those needs. And we find all throughout Scripture that there is instructions about marriage and about how husbands relate to wives and wives relate to husbands. And repeated in those instructions is a specific emphasis based on, did I say gender? Based on whether your husband or the wife, okay? And so the husbands are commanded to love their wives, and the wives are commanded to respect their husbands, okay? And so that lets us know a little bit about the different needs that each person has, okay? So the Bible is not commanding the wife to love her husband and not commanding the husband to love or to respect the wife, although those are important. The wife should love the husband, and the husband should respect the wife. But whenever we think about the differences and how they relate to one another, the Bible emphasizes specific things by role. Okay? And so that gives us insight into the deepest needs of each person. And as we think about the different languages, different currencies, or whatever, however we want to illustrate this, the more that we understand the differences, the better we're going to be able to relate to our spouse as they need us to relate to them, okay? And in this idea of, you know, the foreign language, the foreign currency or whatever, I think that it's important also that we look at this as being both ways. It's not just expecting the other to accommodate you. Good morning. Morning. It's not just expecting the other to accommodate you, but it's to accommodate one another. So in our illustration of foreign languages, okay, if I travel to a foreign language and just assume everyone's going to speak my language, I'm probably a little off base, right? And so it's good if both people are learning the other person's language, okay? It's good if we're both willing to accept the other's currency, okay? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, and hopefully this makes more sense as we go on. And like I said, I realize really, a lot of you weren't here for last week. We laid a lot of foundation for this, but hopefully we can make up for that as we go through and it'll make sense to you. Okay? So, number two in your outline, it says currency types. Currency types. And like I said, we are using this idea of paying with a foreign currency as our illustration list. And as we talked about different needs, it says, interestingly, these needs correspond with the biblical roles of men and women in marriage. Husbands are to provide leadership and are commanded to nurture and to cherish their wives. By the way, and I've said this many times in the past that we've talked about different things, that there is a tendency within religion, within Christianity, to emphasize one over the other. Okay? You hear a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching on wives submit, right? Have you noticed that? And I guess maybe it's because it tends to be men that are teaching and preaching this, that they don't emphasize the husband's love your wife's part as much. Okay? And so there's an imbalance, and we find that Scripture is very balanced. We find that God does do justice to both sides of this. And so it's not that the men get off light and the women are just to serve the men and that they're inferior beings. But I find, and I've said this many times, that the commands to the men are actually heavier, okay? Men actually have greater responsibility before God than what the women do. If we look at the Bible in context, if we read it right, rather than reading it through our own lens and our own preferences, okay? And I'm glad this morning we have several men here, okay? Because it's always awkward whenever, you know, as a man, I'm just teaching a bunch of women. But we're talking about both roles, and so that will be helpful today. And I will say that some of this is unnecessarily controversial just because of the culture which we live in, just the way that society sees things. And so I do invite questions, comments, any kind of discussion. And I don't often slow down enough for you to get a word in, so interrupt me, okay? Or throw something at me. Just nothing hard, okay? Okay. So Ephesians chapter 5 is the verse we're going to begin with, and we're going to read verses 23 through 29. I believe they're in your outline. And so it says, 5:23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so, as we look at this passage, we find that a wife giving respect to her husband enables him to fulfill his God-given role. And similarly, wives are to support their husbands and follow their leadership and demonstrate a peaceful spirit. Okay, so we see that in this passage. Okay, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." And so just going back over these passages for just a moment, we find the emphasis for the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I'll get ahead of myself just a little bit here. But for the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Think about the extremity of Christ's love that he has for his bride, for his church. Think about the way that he willingly offered up himself for the church. It says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Before we had done anything worthy of his sacrifice, he gave all. His love for us was not based on our merit, on our ability, on anything that we had done. It was self-sacrificial. It was unconditional. And the Bible tells us that's how men should love their wives. Unfortunately, it is very common today for our love to be conditional, for us to expect the other person to do X before we will do Y. We expect this to be almost transactional in relationships. But in marriage, it is meant to be completely selfless, that we are not trying to figure out what's in it for me or what have they done or do they deserve what I am giving them. But instead, we love them because of who they are. We love them because of the role that they hold. We love them because we have committed ourselves to them. And so the husband loves the wife because she is his wife. Full stop. That's it. She is his bride. She is the one that he has chosen. And so he chooses to love her. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not if she does this, not but she doesn't do that. It's he loves her unconditionally. And to what extent? It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so there is a sacrificial nature to this as well, that men are meant to sacrifice for those that they love. You see that? And so that's why men will get up and they will go to a job that they absolutely hate. They will work their guts out in the heat and the cold and everything else in order to provide for their family. That is a way that men show love and reverence to their wife. Okay? They are self-sacrificing. Not only that, they are willing to give up even some of their own preferences. They're willing to give up of their own time. And if a man is not willing to sacrifice, if a man is not willing to give, then he is not showing love as God had intended. Okay? See how this is pretty heavy on the man? And so it's not a man's world. A man is just there to be served and for whatever he can get from the wife, and the wife is there to bid his pleasure and do whatever. No, the man is meant to love her sacrificially. And by the way, it's a lot easier for the wife to submit unto her husband when he loves her in that way. Does that make sense? Okay. And then whenever we come to the part of the wife, wives be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, we'll talk about this more in depth here in just a moment. But it's not talking about, let me get my thoughts in order here. I don't want to get myself in trouble. Okay. When it talks about being in subjection, we'll get into a moment that this is a voluntary, this is a choosing that the woman does. To be in subjection means that she is willingly submitting, okay? It's not forced servitude, okay? So we can get that behind us. But also, whenever it says to be in subjection, she is choosing to allow him to lead. Okay. And we're going to find here in just a moment that a woman's main currency, her language is love. She needs to feel loved. A man's main language, he needs to feel respected. And so whenever a woman is in subjection to her husband, she is submitting to her husband, he feels respected. And whenever a man is giving sacrificially for his wife, she feels loved. You see how this balances out. And so God is giving us instructions of how to make the other person feel valued, how to make the other person feel loved, what language it is that they speak. Okay? And so also a question that was asked last week was discussing the idea of, well, what if the other person doesn't? What I mean by that is, what if it's one-sided? What if I'm doing my part and they're not doing their part? That happens frequently, right? And so in this, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we have an example of this. And Peter is instructing the wives and saying, okay, women, if you are believers, if you are trying to serve Christ and you are married to an unbeliever, unequally yoked, right? If you're married to an unbeliever, you just say, okay, well, they're not a believer, so I'm going to follow God and forget them. No, he says, be in subjection to them. Why does he say be in subjection to them? It says, whenever they behold your chaste conversation, the way that you live your life, coupled with fear, that's a respect, reverence, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning. He said, it's not about your looks. It's not about what you put on. It's not about how you fix your hair and you do your makeup and what you dress, but it is your spirit. It is the way that you conduct yourself. It is the way that you live is going to have a huge effect on that man. It says, let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women also trusted God, adorn themselves, being in subjection to their husbands. It says that in verse number one, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, by the way of life, the manner of living of the wife. Okay? And so what this is saying is, how we treat the other person has a huge impact on how they respond. We can't change the other person. We can't make them do anything else, but we can choose to obey God, to follow his plan, his roadmap in Scripture, and in doing things God's way, we'll be surprised by the effect it has on the other person. And so Paul counseled the saved women with unsaved husbands, said, live godly before them, live in subjection to them, show them love, show them respect. And then by doing that, oftentimes they're going to see that, they're going to be drawn to that, and you're going to win them over by the way that you act. And I believe that goes both ways. So if there's a man that has a wife that's an unbeliever, that's not what he's using as an example here. But whenever a man does that which is laid out in Scripture, whenever he loves his wife sacrificially, she will respond. Does that make sense? And so the best way to win the other person over isn't by argument. It isn't by nagging. It isn't by showing your displeasure. It isn't by your criticism. It isn't by your critiquing. It isn't by your constant bickering. But instead, it is by loving and by respecting the other person. Because of who they are, because I've chosen them to be my wife, I've chosen them to be my husband, and because of that, they are due my love, they are due my respect, and they don't have to earn that. That makes sense to everybody? Okay. So anyway, that was all extra. That was all free. A husband freely and frequently demonstrating tender love to his wife provides the security she needs to fulfill her role. Okay. How does a woman submit to her husband? Well, he's made her feel safe in his care. Does that make sense? He has lived in such a way. It says in this one passage, it says that he may wash her with the water of his word. He's not talking about reading the Bible to her. Okay? He's talking about the way that he treats her, the way that he speaks to her, the way that he responds to her. She feels safe in his care. And by doing that, she is able to trust him with her life. Trust him with her future, to trust him with their children, to trust him with their home, their income, with every, say, okay, I'm going to follow you because you have demonstrated to me that I am safe with you. Okay? We find that both in the way that God has wired man and also the way we find in his word, that man provides and protects. It doesn't mean that the woman can't work a job. It doesn't mean that she doesn't also have a part, but that's one of the man's places, is he provides, he protects, she feels safe, and she's willing to put her life in his hands. Okay? And so, of course, in a healthy marriage, no one has to make a choice between love and respect. Both spouses give both to each other. But the specific commands of God related to marriage highlight the greatest need of each spouse, as well as what tends to be the greatest challenge for each spouse to give. I've said this in the past, but the Bible typically does not instruct us in things that come natural. Okay? If it says, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, husbands love your wives sacrificially, that's going to be something that you're going to have to work at. If it's just naturally going to come to you, there wouldn't be any instruction, you're actually going to be doing it already. It says, wives submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. It's not going to come natural. Something you're going to have to work at, or something you're going to have to choose to do. Our culture has, by and large, resisted the roles that God has built into marriage, claiming that they are stereotypical or in some way oppressive. Whatever they may be, they are not oppressive. They are God's design for the gift that he created. And we believe that marriage is a gift from God. It's his idea. So as an illustration, this is one that I've used often before. But if we think about the owner's manual in a car, it tells you how to care for your car, right? The joke has been that, 40 years ago, it told you how to gap your spark plugs and how to adjust the points in your distributor and those kind of things, and how to do all these different adjust the valves. Back in the day, I hate to say that, it told you how to maintain your car. Now it has instructions about not drinking the contents of the battery. We've come a long way, haven't we? Anyway, but whenever you consider the manual of the car, if you have questions about the car, you look it up in the manual, and you never assume that the person who wrote the manual wrote it with malicious intent to make the car less pleasant for you. You assume that the manufacturer is instructing you in the best way to care for that car, right? So as we're reading God's instructions in the Bible, he's not giving us instruction to make it less pleasant. He's showing us how to get the best use out of this, right? How it was intended to work. And so it is with marriage. God has called a husband to provide loving servant leadership within the home, and he's called the wife to give honor and submission to her husband. Following the roles that God has embedded into creation of marriage is integral to your enjoyment of it. Understanding the roles and learning how to communicate love and respect to one another is crucial to having spiritual unity and emotional teamwork in your relationship. So going back to emphasize understanding, right? Understanding these roles, we have to learn these things. Every day's learning day, right? And so too many couples want their spouse to give the way that God instructs in Ephesians 5, but each is unwilling to be the giving spouse. That's interesting, isn't it? You ask any man and say, do you want your wife to submit to show respect? Yes. You ask any wife, do you want to submit and show respect? That's oppressive. I don't want to do that. Right? You ask any wife, do you want your husband to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Do you want him to love you sacrificially? Yes, definitely. You ask the husband, do you want to love your wife that way? Oh, that's hard. It's asking an awful lot of me, isn't it? Isn't it funny how we know by instinct, we know by our own minds, our psyche, that this is a desire we have. The husbands want to be respected, the wives want to be loved, but neither want to give their part to the other person. And that shows the brokenness of humanity. That shows how sin has came into this world and has messed up things. Okay? And so whenever we realize that each person wants what God's word says, they want to receive what God's word says, but they don't want to give it. We're acknowledging that God's word is good. It's just our flesh is pushing back against it a little bit because it requires something of us. And so, although the husband or wife may not like what the Bible says about their own role in marriage, no spouse thinks the other's role is unimportant. A husband might struggle with being a loving servant leader, but he wants his wife to respect him. Similarly, the wife may struggle to follow her husband's leadership, but she wants him to freely communicate affectionate love. Okay, so basically what I just said. However, it's when each spouse will embrace and fulfill their own roles that the other's deepest needs are met and the marriage flourishes. And I think there's a selfishness that occurs just because we're human and we want our needs met, and we become so focused on what we receive when the greatest way of success is focusing on what we give rather than what we receive. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? And we turn that around the other way. I want to receive respect, but I don't want to love sacrificially. She wants to receive love, but she doesn't want to respect, right? Unreservedly. There, I've already. Already got everybody mad, Dana. No? Okay. This is Bible. This is what the Bible's saying. And if we can apply this to our marriages, we can apply this to our lives, we're going to be better for it. And so remember, the goal in understanding these roles is not selfish. It's not so your spouse can do a better job relating to you. The goal is that you know how to give grace and love to one another in the currency that they most readily use and understand. And as I said, this needs to be both ways. We need to be looking at this as, how do they receive love best? I need to work at doing that. But we also need to look at our spouse and say, how do they naturally communicate love? And we need to acknowledge that. That makes sense? I can be a little transparent for a minute. I can give a personal example. Is that all right with everybody? Mm-hmm. Les and I, we communicate love differently. Okay? And the way we typically do is we typically love the other person the way that we want to be loved rather than the way they want to be loved. Okay? And so with me and Les, she likes to show love by serving. Okay? Because she likes to be served. So she will find little things to do for me. She'll find ways. She'll want to make my coffee. She'll want to make my breakfast. She'll want to get things in order. She'll want to lay my clothes out. She'll want to do these things to serve me, to show that she loves me. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is going to sound really bad. Those don't mean much to me. Does that sound bad? They don't mean much to me. I don't really notice them. I don't really pay attention to them, except it actually makes me feel bad because I don't like to be served. I'm the one that serves. I don't like to inconvenience anyone. I don't want to put anyone out. I don't want to feel like I'm making anyone's life any harder. I want to ease people's burdens. I want to ease people's lives. I want to carry the burden. And so whenever people are doting on me, it makes me uncomfortable. When people are doing for me, I feel guilty. Okay? This real enough for you? Okay. And so the way that I show love to her is different. I want to make sure that she's taken care of. I want to make sure that she's safe. I want to do things for her. I want to look out for her. And then part of me, you can look at, like, if you've ever looked into love languages and things like that, right? You've heard of that, right? I want to show her love by taking care of her, but I also want to show her love by being near her. I want to be physically present there. I want to be touching her. I want to be, hugging her. I want to be aggravating her. Okay? And those are the way, because I feel loved whenever someone just wants to be around me, whenever they enjoy my presence, whenever they are close by. I enjoy that. And so I try to do that with her. And it irritates her. Right? She's like, get away from me. Quit touching me. Okay? And so with her, whenever I'm doing that and I'm hanging on her and I'm loving on her, she's like, okay, whatever. Right? Do you see how this works? And so whenever I realize that these little things that she is doing for me, that's her showing love toward me, then I can appreciate that. And I can say, hey, look at this. She's doing this. She's being intentional. She is doing things in order to communicate love to me. It may not be my preferred language, but it's her preferred language. And I realize that. I appreciate it. I'm like, okay, she's showing love. And then she does likewise. But also whenever I realize she's doing all these things, it's what she wants me to do for her. And so I can do those little things to care for her. I can, one of the big ones here recently, and this is going to be stupid, okay, is I was at one of the shops in town and they had the coffee that she drinks marked down cheap, and I got a whole case of it and brought it home to her. She was so thrilled over that. She's like, that's better than if you brought me flowers or chocolate. You brought me my, because I was thinking of her. And that communicated love to her. And I'm like, well, I just, practically speaking, it was on sale. I know you drink a lot, so I bought it. Okay? And she's like, that felt really good. That made me feel special because you did that. And I didn't think that much of it. You see how we have different languages. We have different currencies. There's different ways that we communicate love to one another. And whenever we understand how the other person communicates love, then we are better able to receive it and we're better able to give it both ways. Okay? And so if you think about your spouse and you think about the way that they try to communicate love to you, it may be a foreign currency to you. It's like currency not recognized, you know, vending machine spits it back out. But they're trying to show love to you in the way that they know how. And so you don't say, oh, we're incompatible because we show love differently. No, you are completely compatible because you are opposite sexes and each one shows love differently. Are we on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, now you guys will tell Liza I was telling her secrets here. Anyway. Remember the goal in understanding these roles is not selfish. I read this already, but it's not, okay, I want to understand this so they can do a better job fulfilling me, but instead so that I can do a better job loving them as they need to be loved. We can be ready to love one another in the currency that they most readily use and understand. And so we'll look at the currencies more closely and examine how to make make currency conversions in marriage. That'll be next week, I believe. But for the sake of clarity, we're going to primarily be looking at Ephesians 5, which we've read, but we'll reference other passages as well. But before we begin, however, remember, I say begin and we've already been at 30 minutes. But anyway, before we begin, however, remember that just prior to these verses that we're going to look at, that God gave instruction for every Christian to yield control to the Holy Spirit. Okay? For us to love one another, we need to have a right relationship with God first. The closer we get to God, the closer we can get to one another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." This is right before the instructions on marriage, right before the instructions on family. It says you are going to need the Holy Spirit working in your midst so that you can love each other as God would have you to. That's important. So to be able to give our spouse, give to our spouse in the ways that God commands, ways that often go directly against our nature, we must be filled with the Spirit. We must be willing to surrender our will and to follow Christ. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "But he giveth more grace, whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And in marriage, I think, is probably one of the most important places for there to be humility. There's no place for pride in marriage, because whenever we start getting proud, whenever we start thinking about ourselves first, we're going to push the other person away. But also, whenever we become humble, then God gives us grace. Okay? That's that divine enabling, that unmerited favor that he gives to us. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So there is a voluntary submitting to God. Okay, so letter A, a husband's currency is respect. And I know I've already referenced this. And so your two blanks in letter A, husbands and respect. The currency a husband most needs and understands is respect. And that is why God instructs wives to demonstrate respect. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." By the way, I know I'm getting ahead of myself a bit in this, but I want to point out, it says, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Okay? There's an idea going around that that women are in subjection, submission to men. No. You don't find that in Scripture. The Bible does not say women submit to men. It says wives to your own husband. Okay? So if you run into a heresy that says, okay, all women have to obey men, it's not biblical. Wives submit to husbands. Okay. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." This passage begins with the instruction to the wife, and it underscores the importance of her role. Okay? And so this is a role. This is our place. This is our position that we have. When either spouse fulfills their role, regardless of the other's obedience to their own role, it can make a tremendous difference in the marriage. But when a wife gets the ball in motion, it has an even more powerful effect because it changes the whole spirit of the relationship. And I don't mean to put more heaviness, more weight upon the wife. The husband is meant to be a leader, okay? So men, we should be leading in these things. However, it is amazing the effect that a woman has on a man. We have seen plenty of men be absolute fools because of a wife's influence or because of a woman's influence, right? And even we go all the way back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Satan didn't mess with Adam, and this isn't a pride, arrogance, or mean-spirited thing. Satan didn't mess with Adam. He messed with his wife because if he knew if he could get to Eve, he could get to Adam. Okay, are you following me on this? A wife has tremendous influence in the household and over the man. And I've said this many times before, I'll say it again. I would not be where I am today. I would not be the man that I am today if it wasn't for that woman. She has made all the difference in the world in my life. And whenever we got together, I could have very easily gone either direction. But because of her influence in my life, I am where I am today. So wives, never underestimate the influence you have over your husbands. Now, this isn't telling you, okay, exert that influence and make him change. This isn't manipulative. This isn't that kind of thing. But whenever we see this in this passage, it tells us that women can have a powerful effect in changing the whole spirit of the relationship. And this goes back to what I was saying there a moment ago with the passage that we started out with in 1 Peter about how the wives were able to win over their husbands because of the way that they acted, because of the way they conducted themselves, because of the way they treated them. Women have a massive effect over men. But the Greek word translates submit in Ephesians 5:22. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I don't speak Greek. Okay? But anyway, the Greek word that's translated means to arrange under, to subordinate, or to subject oneself. A decision is involved. It is a voluntary submission. It is a willing choice. And I'll once again say this is important whenever a person is looking at a prospective mate that they say, is this somebody that I can willingly submit to? If a woman is considering a man, if a woman is dating a man, is this a man that I can submit to and allow to lead? Okay. And the man looks at the woman and says, is this someone that I'm willing to sacrifice for and to give myself for? If not, it's best to move on or to work on self till you get to that place that you can. Okay. There was a lady that wrote in relation to a wife's role in marriage. It says, to prove submission is a wonderful concept. Jesus became the ultimate illustration of its validity. Although he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he was completely submissive to the Father's will. So if a woman says, oh, submission makes me a lesser person, submission makes me inferior, Jesus submitted and in no way made him inferior. Okay, so John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He says, I have chosen to put myself in subjection to the Father. I have submitted to him. I am doing that which pleases him, and it in no way invalidates Christ's position. It does not make him inferior. He is co-equal, co-eternal with God, but yet chose to submit, to put himself under. Okay? So superiority or inferiority do not enter into the equation. A godly wife chooses to submit and honor her husband's leadership as an expression of her trust in the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 5:22 we looked at there a minute ago. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? So it's saying that I'm going to submit to him in the same way that I would to God. It is pleasing unto God. I'm doing this as a way of honoring, of obeying God, because he has put this in place. And we often don't think of that whenever we look at these roles. If we are obeying God's word, whenever we submit to these roles, whenever we do what God's word says, we are honoring God in these things. But she also does it as an expression of love to her husband, perhaps in part because of the responsibility on him to be the leader. The way a husband most feels love is whenever his wife communicates a willingness to follow his leadership and communicates her respect for him as a person. Okay? Did that make sense to you guys? And I believe this is going to resonate with every man in here, that a man is going to feel the most loved and he is going to be the most motivated whenever he feels like his family is behind him. Whenever a man feels like he has the support of his wife, when he has the support of his family, whenever they are cheering him on, he feels like he can take on the world. And I know I've said this in the past, but this is what this idea of honor, of respect does, of submission does. But whenever the man feels invalidated, whenever he feels criticized, whenever he feels a lack of respect, he will withdraw, he will be demotivated, and he will do really the bare minimum. Right? This has a huge effect on a man. And you say, well, men are fragile. Well, maybe we are. But this is the way that God has intended it to be. And so whenever a man is constantly criticized, whenever nothing he does is good enough, whenever he knows that none of it's going to be appreciated, he doesn't feel loved. Does that make sense to everyone? And so whenever he does feel appreciated, whenever he does feel approved, whenever he does feel as if he has respect, that is whenever he feels most loved. And I think this is what has been greatly attacked in culture. I believe this is something that people don't fully appreciate. But then also whenever the woman does not feel safe, when she doesn't feel protected, when she doesn't feel provided for, when she doesn't believe that her man is actually looking out for her best interests, then she's going to have a hard time trusting him. You see how this goes both ways? Okay. Anyone got any comments or questions so far? Arguments, complaints. Okay. Okay, so wives sometimes struggle with this. To them, respect is something that you earn by proving yourself, but love is something you deserve by being a human. We often speak of the importance of unconditional love, but we don't speak as often about the importance of respect. Even we often hear respect is earned, right? But that's not the case. Because both love and respect are due every person because they are made in the image of God. We don't think of that, do we? A wife is not expected to respect her husband for something he's not. You don't have to lie to yourself or to your husband pretending he has arrived in areas he hasn't. We are human beings. We are greatly flawed. Right? Husbands and wives both. We have our flaws, but we love each other unconditionally in spite of that. And we respect one another because of who we are rather than what we do. And so don't pretend that he's arrived in areas he hasn't, but don't let that stop you from respecting him for who he is, in particular because he's your husband. Okay? And some of us are flawed enough, you have to look deeply to find ways to respect and to submit and to follow, but those provoke into greater ways, right? The Bible does not teach, and I mentioned this a moment ago, the Bible does not teach that all women are supposed to submit to all men, but it does teach that a wife is to voluntarily place herself under the leadership of her husband and that this is pleasing to the Lord. Now, just practically speaking, in any arrangement, in any relationship, there has to be a bit of an order, okay? It doesn't mean that one's more important than the other, but there has to be, in a way, a chain of command. And if the husband and wife are constantly in competition of who's in charge, who's leadership, or as the old saying, who wears the pants in the family, okay? If that is a constant tension in the family, then you're going to be at odds. The man isn't going to be protecting and providing, and the woman isn't going to be submitting and supporting, right? Each is going their own way. Each is puffed up in pride, and the marriage is going to be toxic and probably short-lived. And so God says, it's not necessarily, well, the man is just so qualified for it that he's the leadership and you have to submit to him because of how qualified. To be honest with you, sometimes a woman's going to be a better leader, but that's not the way that God's put it in place. Okay? There needs to be a leadership. There needs to be an order. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It says as it is fit. It means as it is, I guess, fitting, as it is right. Okay? Doesn't mean that a wife is not also her husband's partner and that they don't share ideas and concerns and input with one another as they work toward decisions. Okay, if the man says, I am the leader, you submit to me, you do whatever I say, and I'm not going to listen to you, he's an idiot. We are partners together. We are joint heirs, right? God says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will create for him a help that is meet for him. What's that saying? It's saying that both parts come together, functioning together for the glory of God, and the man needs a woman, the woman needs the man. And if a man is foolishly going forth because he's the leader, making decisions and demanding that she submits, he's a fool. Because she is going to see things that he doesn't see. He's going to see things that she doesn't see. She's going to have a perspective. He's going to have a perspective. And a good leader is going to take the perspective and the needs and the feelings and all these different things of those that he is leading, take those into account before he moves forward in a decision. And so I believe communication is key, that husbands and wives should be talking about things, discussing important things, and making these decisions together. But ultimately, the man is the one that has the accountability before God for how the family goes. And that goes back to where I was saying that the man's place has a heavier responsibility because he is accountable. Anytime you find in Scripture authority, you find accountability. Because there is a chain of command, there's a chain of authority, and it all goes up to the ultimate authority of God. And if a man exercises authority over his family, but he does not do it in a way that honors God, he gives an account of that to his authority. Okay? And if a wife submits to her husband and he does something foolish, that's on him. Right? And you might think, I don't believe this is right for our family, but he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's the authority. I'll do it if you say so, but I have my reservations, right? Submit to him. He makes a decision. And then he's the one that's accountable for it if it is wrong. And whenever it is wrong, by the way, ladies, don't say I told you so. Because this goes back to the whole thing of honor. Of submitting, of respecting the husband, right? He already knows he messed up. And he's probably already kicking himself for doing so. So how does it, and I'm getting ahead to the next lesson, but how does the wife come and show respect in that? Okay, honey, we're going to figure this out. We're going to move forward. Let's go. Come up behind him, push him on and say, let's keep going. And support him even in his mess up. Rather than say, oh, you always mess up. I told you this wasn't right. Should have listened to me the first time. Not helpful. Okay. And don't be poking and prodding one another. We've all done this. Okay. I'm not getting near as far as I wanted to in this. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This doesn't mean that a wife is not also her husband's partner. I already read that. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so we see this chain of command being listed here. And it's not saying that the woman is less than a man any more than it's saying that Christ is less than God. A wife who gives respect to her husband isn't any way less than her husband. She is communicating love to him in a way that deeply meets his needs and fulfills his responsibilities. Okay? And so I've only covered one half of this, and the women are going to be mad at me because I've only covered the half that everybody always covers, right? So you got to come back next week for the other part, when we talk about the wife's currency being love and how the man must show love to his wife. Is that fair enough? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will balance this out next week, so don't, here, submit, respect, no, next week we'll get to the men. And if the men don't show up, I'm going to know because I warned you ahead of time. I'm not coming next week because he's going to talk to me. But anyway, letter B that we'll look at next week. A wife's currency is love. The currency a wife most needs and understands is love. And this is why God instructs husbands to demonstrate love. Okay, so we'll be looking at that next week. Does anyone have any questions, any comments, anything to add to this morning? You okay? You want to say something?
No.
Not a thing. Okay. Okay, well, we will wrap it up there. And like I said, we'll dive back in next week and finish up this section, Lord willing. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this time that we spent looking in your word and for these truths that come from it, Lord. And I realize that some of these things can be touchy subjects. And I know it's things that we all struggle with, Lord, but help us to have an open mind and a receptive heart, Lord, as we look at these things, Lord, and help us, Lord, just to desire to relate to one another as you would have us to, as your word instructs, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we would have strong relationships, Lord, that we'd have loving marriages, Lord, lasting marriages, Lord, and Lord, just do the needed work in the hearts and lives of each person here. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.